This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 18th, 2006. I'm Jen Rourke. Coming up, is murder becoming entertainment? And a look at your AM 580 forecast. But first, today's news. As Israel continues airstrikes into Lebanon in its battle against Hezbollah militants, thousands of Americans are trying to get out of the country, including the wife and youngest child of the owner of Sam's Cafe in downtown Champaign. Sam Issa says his wife, Todi, and their 13-month-old son, John, went to Lebanon about 3 weeks ago to visit with relatives. Both husband and wife are Lebanese Christians who are now U.S. citizens. Issa says his wife and child are in the northern Lebanese town of Hamat, and the bombing has not been far away.
We have a little airstrip they built during the Christian and Muslim war last year in the 70s, late 70s, and they bombed that little tower. They bombed that just last Saturday, and I was talking to her on the phone, and she said they heard two explosions, you know, first missile hit and then a second one. Within a few seconds apart, she said just two of them just was started, and that's the only thing she's heard so far.
Issa says there are a few safe routes out of Hamat, so he's advised his wife to stay put for now. He says she and their son are waiting to hear from the U.S. Embassy to tell them when they can be airlifted out of Lebanon and taken to Cyprus. Issa says he and other family members had felt safe visiting Lebanon in recent years, but he says the new conflict between Israel and Hezbollah has changed that. He fears that the bombing could lead to a new civil war in Lebanon, like the one that forced him to leave that country in the 1970s. The Urbana City Council approved new plans and zoning changes last night, paving the way for the construction of two new shopping centers. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The Gateway Shops at Five Points West is one of the new shopping centers. It will be built at University in Cunningham on the site of O'Brien Automotive after it moves to a new location north of I-74. Developer Joseph Petrie says the project will be a spot for retailers, financial institutions, and others seeking a location with high-volume traffic.
It's a huge traffic count. It's one of the highest in the county, and we've also got a great location next to downtown Urbana as well as the university. So, you know, we're going to be drawn from all over the place.
While the Gateway Shops will seek a regional base, the Pines at Stone Creek Commons is planned as a neighborhood shopping center serving upscale subdivisions around Philo and Windsor Roads. Mark Dixon of the Atkins Group says the businesses that residents say they want include a coffee shop, a bookstore, a deli, and a beauty salon.
We see this hopefully as a catalyst to encourage more reinvestment there. We don't want to be the Lone Ranger. We want to be part of a resurgence of Southeast Urbana.
The two developers say preliminary work on their projects should begin next month, with the first buildings at both shopping centers possibly ready in the spring of next year. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Also last night, the Urbana City Council approved a 0.25% increase in the city sales tax. Effective January 1st of next year, the Urbana sales tax will rise to 1.25%, bringing the total sales tax in the city to 7.75%, the same level as in Champaign. Urbana officials say they need the new revenue to offset the loss of utility tax money now that the University of Illinois is generating more of its own electricity and buying less from Illinois Power. The city sales tax does not cover food, medicine, or licensed merchandise such as automobiles. Crime Stoppers celebrated 20 years of service to Champaign County yesterday. Since 1986, the not-for-profit organization has provided citizens with anonymity and a cash reward to those with knowledge of a crime. Officials say that since its inception, tips from the Crime Stoppers hotline have helped solve more than 1,100 cases and recovered more than $1 million in stolen property and narcotics. John Hecker heads the Champaign County Crime Stoppers Board of Directors. He says offering citizens the chance to give information without fear is an essential tool for law enforcement officials.
There are many people, I think all of us can identify with this, that want to be helpful up to a point. We don't want our name in the media. We don't want to have to testify. The fear of criminal retaliation, whatever the case might be. This provides a means for those individuals to come forward, supply the information to the law enforcement agencies, yet not take the next step of getting involved.
Crime Stoppers has also given almost $56,000 in rewards to those who come forward, But Hecker says at least half of those eligible for a cash reward don't call back to accept the reward. Nearly 9 out of 10 Illinois motorists wear their seatbelts. Newly released figures show seatbelt use at an all-time high in the state. Sean Crawford reports.
It was the mid-1980s when Illinois first adopted a seatbelt law. At that time, only about 16% of motorists buckled up. Police were only able to issue tickets if they had another cause to pull someone over. In 2003, Illinois passed a measure allowing traffic stops simply for a seatbelt violation. Matt Vanover with the State Transportation Department says that's helped with compliance.
With people buckling up, we're saving lives. We know that that's the case. And just 3 or 4 years ago, that wasn't the case.
Vanover says while seatbelt usage is up, Illinois is on pace for its fewest traffic fatalities in more than half a century. Not wearing a seatbelt can bring a $50 fine. I'm Sean Crawford.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jen Rourke. It seems more and more murder cases are catching the media spotlight. This phenomenon has prompted Carbondale, Illinois defense lawyer Tim Capps to ponder the modern reality of murdertainment.
Like ancient Romans at the arena, we still find death, the death of strangers anyway, entertaining, or at least darkly compelling. Especially violent death. Death inflicted deliberately upon one human being by another. Murder. We are just not as forthright about it as the Romans. They called it fun. We call it news. We sniff and say we have a right to know all the gory details, as if we could not properly discharge our duties as citizens of the Republic without endless speculation about the latest murder. Not all murders, though. Not the old, the ugly, the minority, the male. If the demographic quizzes at network TV are right, we're mostly interested in the murder of pretty white women. I think O.J. Simpson started it all, the modern reality murdertainment industry. What a great thing for television. No writers or actors to pay, just a jurisdiction that allowed cameras in the courtroom and a handful of talking heads. The O.J. trial was the original Survivor. It had it all, the players, the personal drama, and, of course, a vote at the end. Lacey, Natalie, little JonBenet, and others, family members all by now, their photo album smiles burned into the collective memory of a voyeuristic nation. It's not just TV. Newspapers invented their own version of reality murdertainment. Coverage of the 1954 trial of Dr. Sam Shepard, accused of killing his wife, was called a Roman holiday by the appellate court. I do not have to sit with Greta Van every night, knitting like Madame Defarge did as the heads rolled. As a criminal defense lawyer, I have my own murders. I am rarely without one or two of them. Sometimes I try to remember murders past, and from my peculiar perspective, it is never the victim's name that comes to mind, but the accused's. Uniquely, permissibly, and even necessarily, my interest in the victim is limited to the evidentiary value of a dead body, nothing more. Or, so I tell myself and forget the victim's names, but not their faces. Bloody, swollen, or staring sleepy-eyed. The realities of murder would not play well on television. The audience is spared the cost of admission to the real show. Sacks of evidence, much of it meaningless, but collected just in case. The evidence from a murder, when seen all at once, often looks like nothing more dramatic than a bad yard sale. Crime scene and autopsy photos. The smell of blood dried to a crust on the last clothes a woman ever put on herself. The thought of being murdered as far from her mind as it was from yours this morning. Yet having seen a telegenic former prosecutor talk about a murder on TV, or having read the front page story in a newspaper, people feel qualified to critique police, prosecutors, defense lawyers, judges, and even victims and their families. The casual observer does not know the whole story, and much of what he thinks he knows is wrong. His opinions may be delivered the more certainly because they are empty of any consequence. He can afford to be hasty and careless if he wishes, because if he's wrong, it doesn't matter. No innocent person is condemned, no guilty person unpunished. Meanwhile, those police and judges and lawyers and family members on both sides actually involved in the case must somehow turn murder into justice by putting it through the grinder of the adversary system. It is an exercise both more ambiguous and less satisfying than you might imagine. Our fascination with murder need not be a bad thing. Murder pins us squirming to absolutes, good and evil, life and death, the hidden workings of fate that bring together a victim and killer by chance are revealed in some cases. In others, the cold yet blameless lesson that risky choices sometimes end in tragedy. Above all, we are forced to confront our kinship with the killer. For after all, everyone that hates his brother is a murderer, or so it was once said. Murders should make us think, leave us with something besides a thrill. Otherwise, they are just occasions for voyeurism, gossip, and an emotional shiver paid for with real blood and tears, but not our own, or anyone we really care about. If we have turned murder into entertainment, perhaps we should pause to meet across the centuries the eye of the arena spectator and wink as over something guilty shared.
Tim Capps is a Carbondale-based criminal defense lawyer. And now, a look at your WILL AM 580 forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, partly sunny with a chance for a passing thunderstorm, the high 91, winds light and variable. Tonight, partly cloudy, the low 70, winds also light and variable. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, hot and humid, the high 94, winds becoming southeasterly at 6 to 12 miles per hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 18th, 2006. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jen Rourke, AM 580 News.